Me as we turn in the Gospel of Mark to chapter 5. Gospel of Mark, chapter 5, verses 21 through 43, as we hear God's word for us this evening. And when Jesus had crossed again in the boat to the other side, a great crowd gathered about him, and he was beside the sea. Then came one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name, and seeing him, he fell at his feet and implored him earnestly, saying, "My little girl is at the point of death. Come and lay your hands on her so that she may be made well and live." And he went with him, and a great crowd followed him and thronged about him. And there was a woman who had had a discharge of blood for 12 years, and who had suffered much under many physicians, and had spent all that she had, and was no better, but rather grew worse. She had heard the reports about Jesus, and came up behind him in the crowd, and touched his garment. For she said, "If I touch even his garments, I will be made well." And immediately the flow of blood dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of her disease. And Jesus, perceiving in himself that power had gone out from him, immediately turned about in the crowd and said, "Who touched my garments?" And his disciples said to him, "You see the crowd pressing around you, and yet you say, 'Who touched me?'" And he looked around to see who had done it. But the woman, knowing what had happened to her, came in fear and trembling and fell down before him and told him the whole truth. And he said to her, "Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your disease." While he was still speaking, there came from the ruler's house some who said, "Your daughter is dead. Why trouble the teacher any further?" But overhearing what they said, Jesus said to the ruler of the synagogue, "Do not fear, only believe." And he allowed no one to follow him except Peter and James and John, the brother of James. They came to the house of the ruler of the synagogue, and Jesus saw a commotion, people weeping and wailing loudly. And when he had entered, he said to them, "Why are you making a commotion and weeping? The child is not dead, but sleeping." And they laughed at him, but he put them all outside and took the child's father and mother and those who were with him, and went in where the child was. Taking her by the hand, he said to her, "Talitha kumi," which means, "Little girl, I say to you, arise." And immediately the girl got up and began walking, for she was 12 years of age. And they were immediately overcome with amazement. And he strictly charged them that no one should know this, and told them to give her something to eat. The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of our God stands forever. Amen. Please be seated. In the introductory verses of this section, we find a pleading Father. Some of you perhaps have been in that kind of moment. Your child is sick, things are uncertain, and you beg with God. You barter with God. You beg God. You give yourself up to God. "Take me. Just don't take my child." You understand the energy behind this man's pleading with the Lord to come and save his child. You can imagine the excitement that he had having gone through the crowd that day and found Jesus. It's the exact opposite type of experience Jesus had on the other side of the lake. Remember, he showed up. Nobody was there. Nobody to greet him except the demoniac. He comes back across the lake, back to his home territory, and the place has gone nuts. Everybody is losing their minds. They can't get enough of Jesus. They want to be close. They're pressing in. You can imagine this elder, this is functionally his role in the synagogue, this elder's excitement when he comes and finds Jesus, pleads his case, and Jesus says, okay, let's go. This is it. Mrs. Jairus isn't going to believe it when I come walking in the house with Jesus. She said I was crazy. She said I'd never get to him, but I got to him, and now he's coming with me. And then the scene halts. Because Jesus wants to know who touched him. And don't miss how annoyed the disciples were in this moment. These blockheads, they didn't get anything at times, right? The crowd is pressing around. Luke says that it was about to crush him. I mean, these are the types of things that we hear about at concerts or at some type of cultural event around the world where the crowd gets out of control and people die. And the crowd is pressing in, and they've just caught word that Jairus' daughter is sick, and Jesus said he's going to go. What's he going to do today? And they're pressing in, they're pressing. And in the midst of that crowd, this woman reaches out and touches Jesus, this bloody woman. Think about Jairus in that moment. There's no time to lose. And yet all of a sudden we're losing time. My imagination can run wild. I can imagine he's an elder in the local synagogue. This is a woman who has been on the synagogue shut-in list for 12 years. Listen, Roberta, we can take care of this later. My daughter is dying. I know we owe you a visit. I know that you want us to come pray for you. But you're unclean. You need to stay away. What are you even doing here? My daughter's sick and needs attention. You don't ever know what Jesus is doing, what Jesus is up to. And remember, he keeps his appointments. This woman was a seeker. This is the type of person I say, boy, it's probably a really good thing she didn't have the internet. Because she had been from doctor to doctor to doctor to doctor, and she was broke, and not only was she not getting any better, she was getting sicker. You can imagine what those around her who knew her could say about her. Oh, good, you found another doctor. Good. Okay. How much are you going to pay this one? What's he going to do for you? And yet nothing held her back from Jesus. She risked literally life and limb. Physically she risked because the crowd was immense and overpowering, and she was weak. She had been bleeding for 12 years. And yet she ventured out of the house that day because she knew Jesus was coming to town. And if she could just touch him, she would be made whole. She risked spiritually because she was unclean. And those towns back in that day weren't that big. And everybody knows your business in a small town. When we lived in Sterling, Kansas, we used to say, if you don't know what you're doing, just ask your neighbor, because they do. Everybody knows everybody's business. And everybody knew this woman was unclean. She was damaged goods. She was not to be touched. She was not to be around. And yet she made her way out of the house that day to go find Jesus and to touch his garments. There's a little bit of spiritual lore in this, that in touching the hem of his garment, that meant she touched his tassels, which would have been referred to as the wings, and this points back to Malachi 4:2. But for you who fear my name, the Son of Righteousness shall rise with healing in its wings. But at the end of the day, Jesus reminds her that it wasn't her action that healed her. It was the faith that provoked the action that healed her. She trusted Christ. And in a foreshadowing way, Jesus refers to her as daughter. Daughter. Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your disease. Well, they get to this point, and Jairus is probably ready to go. All right, okay, that's good. Thank you, Roberta. We appreciate you stopping by and seeing Jesus today, but we have got to get back to my house. And he turns to drag this group to his house, and here comes his servant running to him. And Jairus can tell from the look on the servant's face from a couple of blocks away that he's not running to give him good news. And the words that Jairus had avoided fell upon his ears. Your daughter is dead. Just don't trouble the teacher anymore. Let him get back to people that he can do something for, because he can't do anything for your daughter. And Jesus, in a moment, like many of us who have had two-year-olds, have moments with two-year-olds where we just squeeze them by the face and we get right in their face. We're like, look at me right here. Look at me right here. Don't listen to anything else that's going on. Don't pay attention to anything else that is going on. Do not be afraid. All I need you to do right now is believe. That's all you need to do. That's all you need to do is believe. Only believe. And Jesus escapes with Jairus and his three closest disciples, those who are of his inner circle. These were the guys that got to see more than anybody else. This is one of them who said, if everything were written down, the world could not contain the books. As they wander off to go see this little girl whose life was snuffed out before her time, they wander off, escaping from the crowd. And as we've said, you never know what Jesus is up to. But he keeps his appointments. Listen, when Jesus heard that his good friend Lazarus was sick, he delayed going. Why? Because he said, first of all, the sickness will not end in death. To which everybody around him said, he's already dead. How can you say that? But he said, this will glorify God. And Jesus, in a very public place in front of hundreds of people probably, called forth Lazarus from the dead. What an amazing thing to witness. Here, this is a very quiet, private moment. There was the moment where Jairus had pleaded with Jesus, but the crowd was so immense, we don't know exactly who would have heard that. There was the moment when the servant comes and says she's dead. We don't know exactly who heard that. Jesus whisks away with his three disciples and with Jairus, and we don't know who exactly was all aware of what was going on. But she was dead. But then she was alive. As Jesus takes her by the hand and calls her to himself. And in the privacy of this moment, see, no one else was to know. In the privacy of this moment, it seems that Jesus brought her back to life simply so that her parents could have her again. They could have her back for the moment. For the moment, because this life always finds us by a casket. The casket of our parents, the casket of our children, the casket of our coworker, our brother, our sister, our friend. This life, in our present state of sin and misery, knows no other way to party except by funeral. These parents would lose her again someday, or she would lose them. Either way, death would eventually separate them. They had her back, but they had her back for a moment. For just a little bit, but then they would be separated again. And separation was the real problem of that woman with the issue of bleeding. She was unclean ceremonially. She couldn't participate in the life of worship that her community enjoyed. She had to keep her distance, always living in the syncopation, making sure that she was places when others weren't. But now all of a sudden she was clean. This little girl was unclean because she was dead. No one was allowed to touch her, but Jesus could touch her, and he did touch her, and he took her by the hand, and he raised her up to life. An amazing, beautiful story. I want to apply these stories in three ways tonight. Stewardship, redemption, and prayer. Stewardship, because we learn from this story that time is short. We need to be about what matters. 12 years is not that long. This little girl reminds us of the brevity of life. Use as many moments as you can to love those around you, to share with them the things of Christ, to worship together, to serve together, to grow together. The woman reminds us to steward well, to not waste the painful moments of this life. One pastor said of this woman, Jesus tells us that her faith was what made her whole. She believed even after 12 years of physical suffering and of enduring the label of social pariah. She believed that the Lord would heal her. In fact, it may well have been her suffering that gave birth to the rich faith she brought to the scene. Suffering can inspire the deepest kinds of faith. I would love to have a glimpse at her life during those 12 years. How did she pray? How did she express her piety? How exactly did the suffering help to purify her heart, simplify and clarify her mind? What was her response to all of it that brought forth such pure faith? Friends, let us not waste the moments of pain and suffering and anguish. Let us look in the darkness for that hand of Christ to hold on to tightly. As we grow in our faith, as we grow to trust Him, we rarely trust Christ more when everything is hunky-dory. That's from the old Latin, meaning fine and dandy. We rarely trust Christ when the cupboard is full. We rarely trust Christ when the body is functioning well. But oh, how we are driven to our knees, how we are driven to greater and deeper faith when we are experiencing the fullness of that sin and misery of this life. Our second point of application is redemption. Both of these women, the little one and the older one, point us to the realities of sin, of sickness, of death, of despair. Yet both of them experience healing and wholeness, resurrection even, figuratively and literally, when they meet Jesus. As Jesus has shown throughout this gospel in the last couple of sections, that He is the Lord over nature. He's the Lord over the spiritual realm. He's shown here that He is Lord over the incurable medical issues. And He is Lord even over death. To the point that He tells the crowd in the house that day, she's just sleeping. Now, she was 12. She wasn't a teenager yet. I have multiple teenagers in my house, and sometimes I think it would be easier to raise the dead than it would be to wake them up from a nap. But to Jesus, the worst thing that can happen to us as we see it and understand it, it's nothing more than laying down and going to sleep. He is still the Master. He is still the Lord, even in those moments. Stewardship and redemption, and the third way to apply this text is through prayer. Prayer. And I want to apply this by looking at that moment when Jairus finds out that his daughter is dead, and that question comes, that statement comes, don't trouble the teacher anymore. I want to ask you, are you troubling the teacher? Are you banging on the door of heaven? Are you pouring out your heart before God with all of your requests? James 1 says, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives generously to all without reproach, and it will be given to him. But let him ask in faith, with no doubting. For the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea that is driven and tossed by the wind. For that person must not suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. This shows us that we must be saturated in the Word of God. Because we want to know the will of God, and the Word of God reveals the will of God, and it reveals to us the way in which we should pray. And that we should ask God diligently, and we should ask God wholeheartedly and single-mindedly. And then Luke 18 says, and he told them a parable to the effect that they ought always to pray and not lose heart. That's my favorite kind of parable, where it tells you the answer before you even get to the parable. Okay? So the point of this parable is keep praying and don't lose heart. Okay? That's the answer. Now here comes the quiz. He said, in a certain city there was a judge who neither feared God nor respected man. And there was a widow in that city who kept coming to him and saying, give me justice against my adversary. For a while he refused, but afterward he said to himself, though I neither fear God nor respect man, this is how big of a doofus this guy was. I mean, he can openly say, I don't fear God, I don't respect man, right? This guy might be up for, never mind. Okay, so, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will give her justice so that she will not beat me down by her continual coming. Now, again, I've told you, I have a great imagination. I can imagine this widow in the town with this judge. He goes out to dinner, she shows up at the restaurant. Right? He's playing golf, she pops out of the tree. Will you give me justice against my adversary? Francine, I told you, leave me alone. You've already asked me, right? She is everywhere, all the time, asking this judge, will you give me justice? And the Lord said, hear what the unrighteous judge says, and will not God give justice to his elect who cry to him day and night? Will he delay long over them? Listen, the point of the parable is so clear. If a judge who hates God and hates people is willing to mete out justice because he's just sick of this woman driving him crazy, how much more will a loving, just, faithful, and true God be willing to give you justice if you are willing to spend the time to pray about it? This woman showed up every day in every way to ask this judge for justice, not knowing at all the outcome. We know that we serve a God who wants to mete out justice, who wants to give mercy, who wants to convert hearts, who wants to see women healed after years of suffering, who wants to see little children raised from the dead. Pray. 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 Do not lose heart. Twelve years is not that long. For the entire time that this little girl had been alive, that woman had been bleeding. In that perspective, it's a lifetime. But in the scope of eternity, it's not that long. Let us keep looking to God. Let us keep praying to Him. Let us keep asking Him for justice. Let us keep reaching out the hand of faith. Let us stop doubting and let us only believe that our Master, our Savior, has our ultimate good in mind. And His will be done. Stand with me as we pray. Father, give us grace in the moments of pain and anguish to not waste that suffering by wandering and doubting. Lord, by your Holy Spirit, keep us walking in faith and trusting you. Father, help us to realize that time is short. Even those long, dark nights of the soul are but a breath before we will stand before you. Give us the strength by your Holy Spirit to hold tightly to your hand. And we thank you that you hold tightly to us when we are weary and exhausted. Father, help us to remember that we are sinners in need of redemption. That through the lives of both of these women, we see the reality of the life in which we live in our current state. We have no problem praying, even so, come quickly, Lord Jesus. How we long to see your face. Father, may the pains and uncertainties of life drive us to our knees. Keep us people of prayer. Keep us in a posture of pouring out our hearts before you, desiring your kingdom come and your will to be done. We pray in Christ's name. Amen.